Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnet Heads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free thanks to the following supporters: Chelsea Wofford, Andre Jarkison, Brian Mellenbacher, Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Kristen Hirsch, Margaret Loviska, Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast Podcast, J.J. Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith-Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years Podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files Podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv Podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, The No Agenda Podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Susan King, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Jeannie Comer, Elvira Dubas, Stacy Carrigan. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Welcome. This is Mark. Oh, that's still loud. Holy moly. My audio is going crazy. It has a mind of its own tonight. Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. And today I have Suzanne Holland joining me. How are you doing, Suzanne?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thank you, and welcome back to the show.
Yes. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always fun having you on, and I'm just kidding. It's awful. It's the worst.
It's terrible.
No, it is. I don't know how many episodes you've done. You've done maybe three or four.
I think so. That sounds
something
right.
Something like that. And I don't know. I always find the more episodes I do with somebody, the more kind of rapport we make, you know, we get. And it's like, I don't know. We point out more things. We challenge each other a little bit more and more.
Yes.
And this is a challenging episode that we're talking about tonight.
It's a strange one.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about what episode it is?
Well, this is Someone Please Love Me.
Aww.
Episode.
So sad. It's like my dog.
Yeah. So this episode features Charles going off to buy some horses and getting really over involved with the family of the horse dealer.
Oh my God.
Trying to help them through their issues.
Learn new boundaries, man. Like, yes. You know, holy. I really genuinely think he just went too far here.
He did. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like Uncle Chris kind of moment. You know, it's kind of like, it's just too much.
Don't speak that intimately with them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll point out a couple things that I thought that were going to happen, that were really going to happen, but they didn't. And I just thought if it were to happen, that would be even funnier. But yeah, we open up and Charles is clearly the middleman for horses now. I don't know this guy.
I don't know when that started.
I know a guy and I'm going to go and get horses. So he comes and he's laughing right away. Right away we get the Charles Ingalls laughing at everything.
How goes it, Sandy?
Oh, busy, Charles, busy.
Dark around?
Inside. Don't bother trying the door. He's got his money box out again. It's bolted 6 ways from Sunday.
Thanks.
Now, I don't know who these people are.
I don't either. But I know the guy that's hoarding his money box. I know that he's been in multiple episodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely the guy who's been, he's been everywhere. He's a face that we know. But I don't even know what they're doing. What's he buying horses for?
I don't know. He doesn't look like he would have money to buy horses.
But he does. He's got some serious money.
Serious bankroll.
Yeah, so here he is.
Hey, box of his, how many times? It ain't safe to walk in there.
The laugh.
That's a hot laugh.
Sorry to keep you, Charles. Personal business.
I understand, sir.
Well, you ready to go?
Yep, ready to go.
All righty. Here's the money. $250 cash money. You be careful with it.
Now, $250? What? I mean,
that's a lot of money.
A man could do a lot with $250.
You could buy a farm easily.
Well, it's actually worth less than I thought it was. It's worth about $7,000.
Wow.
You know, in today's money adjusted for inflation. You'd, I mean, that's a tremendous jump. Yeah, I don't know. When I think of it, like them buying the oven, right? Which it was $7.87. You know, you could have bought a ridiculous amount of them for that. You bought 30 of them for this amount of money.
That's true. So, and then you could look at them all.
Yeah, and you might even have money left over to make bread.
Yes.
Or if you're a farmer, you just have all the stuff already.
Yes.
But yeah, so $250. So he's going to buy $7,000 in today's money worth of horses. I wonder how much a horse is. I bet a horse is at least $10,000.
I don't know.
Like now.
And what's he going to do with these horses? Is he supposed to be the blacksmith now?
I don't know. A lot of weird stuff going on here. We don't get a real explanation, of course. But he goes on.
I will, sir. Wish you would have gotten a check from the bank.
Don't trust them. I give them money. They give me a piece of paper. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, you make sure you see all the horses Harper's got to offer. Just don't buy up the first 10 he shows you.
I won't. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I never met the man, but he has a reputation for fair dealing. So I don't trust him.
So this guy's kind of a fun character. I kind of like
that. He is. You know, he always kind of plays the same character. You know, I think of when Almanzo and...
Who's that?
Charles went... Almanzo and Charles were having that race to go deliver freight, and he was the guy that tagged along with Charles.
I know the episode, but I don't know anybody named Almanzo.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
I don't know who that was.
You mean Manly?
Manly.
Or Al.
Could be. Then he's also Blanche's daddy.
So was that Gargan? Was that what he called him?
I think so.
I can't really tell. I think this is him. And yeah, I mean, this guy was in 7 different episodes of it. And you know what I know him from mostly is he played Buffalo Bill in For the Love of Blanche. He plays the guy who's dying in the beginning.
Yes. All he can do is make arrangements for his poor Blanche.
poor Blanche. All right, so Charles gets into town, and people are just not friendly. They're like...
They're not. It's a wicked town.
They've never heard of Charles Ingalls.
Good afternoon.
What can I do for you?
I'm Charles Ingalls. I'm supposed to see Mr. Harper about buying some horses.
He's not in the office right now.
He's reading a book that I tried to look up, and I can't. It's like some cheap pulp book. But The Bleeding Hand Strikes Back.
Well, good for him for reading.
Well, that's true. This is the most wrinkly man I've ever seen in my life, by the way. He's crazy wrinkly. It's like he's just...
Could you tell me when he'll be back?
Not today. If you want to talk to him, go down a couple of doors. He'll be in the saloon.
Saloon?
Oh, wicked, wicked town.
Yeah, we get a Charles that is seemingly almost offended by alcohol in this episode. Yes. Maybe
I
not.
Agree.
Yeah, it's weird, right? He's, I don't know.
He doesn't normally seem to be that way, but in this episode, I would agree.
Yeah, like if Jonathan's around, they're ordering a bottle of wine.
Yeah, good point. You know, but isn't he always going and looking for somebody in the saloon? Throughout this series, he's always dragging someone out of the saloon.
Usually ends up him punching somebody out, though.
Yes.
In paw fashion.
As only he can.
I do want to mention that there's not one fern in this entire episode, and I really expected to see a fern in Brett Harper's house.
There should have been. That's why it wasn't a happy home.
They did have another. They did have another one, another plant, but I don't know what it was. Certainly not a fern. So here we go. We're in the saloon. Piano player is clearly not really playing. It's like if you ever watch those lip sync shows from the 80s, Dance Fever? No, it wasn't Dance Fever. What was the one where they did lip syncing?
I don't remember one from the 80s.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me.
Mr. Harper?
Yeah, yeah. What can I do for you?
I'm Charles Ingalls. I believe you had some correspondence with Mr. Gargan from Walnut Grove about buying some horses.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course, the horses. Sit down, Mr. Ingalls.
No, I don't want to interrupt. I just want you to know I was in town and we can start talking business tomorrow.
Nonsense. No, I insist that you sit down. Pleasure before business.
That's what I always say. I like this guy.
Charles is not going to take the bait there, so quit trying.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's not joining you.
Every single time you invite him down, he's going to have an excuse right in his back pocket.
Again, thank you very much, but I've got to get the team down to livery and find a hotel room.
Nope, no hotels for you. When you do business with Brett Harper, you stay at his place.
I don't impose.
Well, we have plenty of room. Huh? No arguments.
All right, you got yourself a house guest.
Good. Now, please sit down and join us.
I tell you what, I'd like to have a look around the town. I'll just wait for you outside.
Okay, suit yourself. I won't be long.
He just makes the funniest face.
Yeah.
Like, I won't be long.
And this show, always with the suit yourself.
Exactly.
I say it all the time.
So I don't know if you watched the show, but from 1984 to 1988, Dick Clark had Puddin' on the Hits.
I have never heard of that in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll try to dig up the theme song while the next clip is going on.
Okay. I remember Solid Gold, if that helps, but
I mean, yeah, and the Solid Gold Dancers.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to guess this was nationwide.
With Dick Clark, it would be.
Yeah. But maybe if you were to watch some of it, it would kind of come back to you. Or not.
Yeah, I will.
or you happily avoided it. So Harper's a heavy drinker and a partier. He's, he's next to this woman. He's coming out hours later. Charles is just kind of hanging out outside the saloon. And he's promising horses to everybody. Charles sees the stumbling drunk coming out, and Charles goes to him.
Mr. Harper?
Yes? What do you want?
I'm Charles Ingalls. Yeah, I was waiting for you outside.
That song inside that he's playing, it's called Charles Ingalls.
I think so.
It's the Charles Ingalls theme.
Yes. Ingalls, my house guest.
Yes, sir.
You got a wagon?
Sure.
No, he walked.
I think it'd be better if we both went in your wagon.
This guy is feeling good. He's not feeling much, actually.
No, he's not.
He comes into his house, and he's stumbling drunk, and he sees his, we see a woman. But he comes in, he's pretty loud, and Charles is helping him up.
Get up on myself.
Right here, I expected a fern. Could have knocked it over.
I'm going to bed. Leslie, this is Mr. Ingalls. I'll show you to your room.
My house is just as creaky as this.
Really?
Yeah, well, my house is 100 years old, that's why. But it's kind of a relief to hear that I'm not the only person in the world with a creaky house. But yeah, when you walk throughout my dining room and the stairs, it's like it sounds exactly like that. Like there's no one sneaking up on me.
Yeah, and that means your son can't sneak out if he when he gets older.
Well, outside of his window is we have a den with a short roof, I guess. And if he wanted to, I guess he could jump out that window and go down the drain pipe thing.
Well, at least he's got options.
I don't know if he's going to do that. That's about 15 feet in the air, but who knows? But we're such lenient parents that I just feel like we would just say, all right, just keep your phone on.
Yeah.
We'll see. He's only 12. What am I talking about?
You've got time.
Yeah, I have time to be worried sick. So Charles basically is immediately, I don't know, just making conversation. So she goes down to clean everything up.
Sorry about that mess, man.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
I suppose. This is never a dull moment working for a man like Mr. Harper.
Ooh.
I don't work for him, Mr. Ingalls. I'm married to him.
Ah. Womp, womp. So Charles is like, oh, I thought you were kind of up for grabs. Like he's like hitting on her. Jeez. Like, sorry,
that's
I guess.
That's a stinging comment. I mean, not that he intended it to be so, but like, ugh.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like
married to him. It's like being his maid.
I think it hurt both ways. It hurt for her to hear it. but the next morning, in Charles's, Charles is there, and his charm is just everywhere. So he, of course, says good morning. Probably the nicest dining room I've ever seen on Little House. Nicest house I've ever seen on Little House on the Prairie.
It really is gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it's modern, but it's totally not like a new house. It's very strange. The chandeliers and everything is really, really nice.
Morning.
Morning. Can I fix you something? Some eggs?
No, I'm fine. Just some coffee.
You sure?
Yeah. Just take it black.
I mean, her kitchen is really just missing like a refrigerator and maybe an electric like range to look like a 50s kitchen.
I can see how I can see that now that you've
the white cabinets and just the way it's all set up and white walls. Jeez.
Yeah. Why is he refusing breakfast? I think it's weird.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have a stack of pancakes, 7 pieces of bacon, and what else you got?
It's like, well, if he can get bacon, he doesn't need anything else. A bacon sandwich. That's good.
Just a piece of bread with butter.
Yes. Just coffee isn't going to do it.
Well, it's going to have to do.
beautiful morning.
Yes.
Are we sure that she doesn't work for him? Just the way she's serving him. It's nice and everything, but it looks like she has almost a uniform on.
It does. It's such a strange dynamic in that house. Everything's a little off kilter.
Yeah, even the kids.
Yes. Don't get me started on the kids.
Charles, of course, feels the need to talk about the elephant in the room.
I want to apologize about last night.
No need, Mr. Ingalls.
No, I think it was probably my fault. Husband and I got to talking, and then we ordered a few drinks. And some men just hold their liquor better than others.
Now, what was that?
I don't know. He's a dirty liar, and he doesn't know this guy. Why is he making up stories for him? Yeah, or is he making it up for her?
Maybe it's something like that, but Charles, I don't recall him drinking.
Yeah, he's not drinking.
Not our Charles.
No.
So yeah, I thought that was a little bit of a weird comment, but she goes on.
Please don't make excuses for my husband. Last night was nothing new. If you hadn't been with him, he just wouldn't have come home at all.
Give it to me!
No!
I had it first!
No, you didn't!
And the two most annoying kids in the world are complaining. They're arguing.
Of course.
And I looked closer and I was like, oh my God, is that Alicia? Or Alicia?
Oh yes, it is Kyle Richards.
Unbelievable.
Like we're not going to notice that it's Alicia Sanderson Edwards right there. That's just dumb. There are a million kids wanting them to work at this time. And he uses Alicia.
Now, the thing that's strange about that is she played. All right. So what is her name in real life? I'm sorry. It's Kylie.
Kyle Richards.
Yeah. Kyle Richards. So she's was in 18 episodes of Little House on the Prairie, but only 17 are as Alicia.
Right.
Strange.
It's very odd. The choice to use her for this episode is extremely odd.
I'm sorry, go on.
They have a bunch of extras in the school, the school scenes all the time. Grab one of those. It's not like it's a challenging guest shot.
You couldn't get, she was Alicia before this, and she would come back as Alicia.
Yes.
In the return of Mr. choice. Edwards. It is super strange. Definitely strange. I wonder if there's a story there, though, because I know from speaking to Rodimus Pera that when Michael Landon and Victor French had a falling out, Michael Landon wrote all of his family off. You know, it was like you just didn't exist. And that's one of the reasons why they killed off John Jr.
Yeah.
But the thing is that when Victor French came back, that's when they killed John Jr. And they had to kind of clean up the mess. And it's a very strange one. And Rodimus talks about that, how he kind of wanted to come back, but it was too late.
Right. They were killing him off.
He had to be like Obi-Wan Kenobi and come back as a ghost.
Exactly. And, you know, it's there was never really a send off for that family. They were just there for one episode and then gone the next. And we didn't see them again until that episode where Isaiah is injured by the falling tree, which was Alicia's fault.
One thing that we learned from this, though, is to never be the person who's crossing Michael Landon.
I guess not.
Because everyone you're surrounded by disappears. Until you apologize, till you kiss the ring.
You know, using Kyle Richards for this episode is so strange. I almost wonder if they had another child actress doing it and something happened, like the kid got sick or something, and maybe they brought Kyle in. I don't know. It's just odd.
We hear stories about Michael Landon being so committed to the people who are on his payroll. And I wonder, you know, maybe it's like, all right, we got to find a place for this girl. I don't care if she was in 16 other episodes. as a different character. It's almost like bringing in Victor French as like the new town drunk or something.
Oh my God. Yes.
Which I would love. I would love to see that. Like, no, my name is Henry.
Henry.
What?
Yeah.
So Charles gets to meet the kids. They get a little bit of a lecture from mom, blah, blah, blah. But it's really important when Charles gets to meet them.
Yeah.
Hi there. So you must be Thomas and you must be Samantha.
How do you know our names?
Now you hear the cows mooing, right?
Yeah.
From what I understand, we got a tour of a dairy farm a couple years ago. And they were saying that when cows are mooing, it means they're distressed.
Really?
So, yeah, it's not a good thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so when I hear the cows, I'm just like, oh, man, these poor cows are probably throwing rocks at them or something. Not literally, but maybe they'll also moo when they need to be milked because they're uncomfortable. It could just be milking time. Let's just, you know, we'll chalk that up. We'll say it was milking time.
Okay.
Even though these are probably, you know, male cows. Not dairy cows. But I'm not going to look that closely.
Magic. That's how I know your names.
Well, we don't know Magic, so you have to tell us your name.
I'm Mr. Ingles. Well, that's kind of formal, so you can call me Charles.
Nice to meet you, Charles.
Nice to meet you, Sam.
Her name's not Sam. It's Samantha.
Well, I know what her name is. Sam is short for Samantha.
But that's a boy's name.
So what? You were playing a witch, and witches are ladies.
Yeah, with big warts on them.
You're lucky. You got a short name.
Well, we can shorten your name up, Thomas. How about if I call you Tom?
That sounds good. I like it. I wish my pod called me Tom.
I'm sure.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Well, like, oh, wow, Tom for Thomas. That's super creative.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd you come up with that one? You're a genius, Mr. Ingles.
Very would, just ask him.
I better not.
Why not?
Because our pa's sick. He falls down and all. Well, we're not supposed to bother him.
Well, maybe when he's feeling better, huh?
Always the optimist.
Yeah.
Harper's up. He's making an Irish coffee, which is just, you know, that's a good way to get booze in your body and a little caffeine, too.
Yes, come in.
Your wife told me you're up.
Yeah, in a manner of speaking. Did you have a look around the place?
Yeah, a little bit.
What do you think of my horses?
I'm afraid, to be honest with you, you might raise the price on me.
I don't do business that way.
In that case, I think they're some of the best-looking animals I've seen.
Good. Good. You're an intelligent man, but that's just a sample. It'll take a few days to round up all the horses I want you to look at.
Take your time. I'm in no hurry.
Man's got to take time to pick out good horses. Oh, I'm sorry. You want some Irish coffee?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
Little hair of the dog?
Brett, I don't want to bother you if you're busy, but the children are ready any time you are.
Ready? Ready for what?
Oh, for the picnic we planned for this afternoon, remember?
What do you mean, do I remember? You think I have nothing else to think about today? A picnic? I'm running a ranch.
I know, Brett. I just...
Oh, my God. She's so annoying. Am I wrong? No.
No.
I feel so bad for this woman. All she wants to do is live her life. And this guy is just so horrible. It's just horrible.
He is. And
he gets worse, though.
He does.
Well, you promised them and you keep putting it off.
I'm busy.
Look, if you two have something planned, why don't you go ahead with it? I'm not in any hurry.
It would make the children so happy.
I told you I'm busy. I've got to go into town today. Isn't it just like a woman? Wants all the things money can buy, but just can't understand why her husband has to work all the time to pay for them.
Did you hear Charles? He goes, yeah, should meet my wife.
Yeah. You know, it's a little misogynistic, don't you think, buddy? God.
Now, I
just
know
like
people,
a woman.
I know people who are really like this. Not really the drunk aspect. I mean, I certainly know a couple drunks, but the ones who just complain about their spouses, and I just don't understand it. It's like, if you're so miserable, like, what are you doing? It doesn't make so much sense to me. But yeah, the way people talk to each other when they're right in front of each other is, it's kind of one of the worst things in the world. I mean, to have this kind of argument in, not only in front of a stranger, but Charles Ingalls. I mean, the guy, they write songs about him.
You, they do.
They do.
You know, and another weird thing is, okay, he's wearing pinstripe pants. And I find that odd.
So you noticed that, right? I thought they were jeans at first, but no.
I did too. But no, they're pinstripe pants, like part of a suit or something. I don't get it.
There's a lot of stuff in this episode that is so much more modern than what we're used to. They have luxuries we could never imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it goes
on. The ceiling. Look at the ceiling. That's a little weird.
The whole house is so strange. They do have a light fixture, I do want to mention. In this scene, if you look in the other room, there's a light fixture in the ceiling. So did they have light fixtures of any kind back then for something? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and of course, it's 1979.
It's too early for gas, especially out in the country. Yeah.
I don't know if you'd want gas in your ceiling, you know, to like a flame up in your ceiling.
Yeah, and but that's kind of enclosed to the ceiling. So. Yeah,
it's definitely a light, like a modern electric light fixture. No doubt about it. So he's basically just super grumpy, and this is where Charles becomes Uncle Chris. A little too, only, yeah. What?
Yeah, only not quite as flirty,
or as you know, or as manly. Really, he's just kind of. You know, I'm going to go after your woman because you're going to go into town. And at least Charles was away working when Gil Gerard was, and Gil Gerard was working while flirting with Ma.
He was. But
this whole thing is very strange.
Well, they smell a little fried chicken cooking around.
Children love it.
So is your house guest. She'd like to join you. I've got nothing to do around here.
That's very kind, Mr. Ingalls.
It has nothing to do with kind. Come on.
I want to stare at your skin.
I'll hit you at the team.
And your pretty hands. And his kids are out. His kids. And Charles comes outside and he yells, I'm your pa now.
Hey, you want to go on a picnic or not?
Yes, we play games.
Well, it all depends.
Okay.
You help me hit you up the team.
And she looks and she's like, that man.
I wish that was my man.
Right. And it becomes a different show all of a sudden. This is the new Ma. I mean, it's really, it looks kind of like when somebody has another family. You know?
Yeah. He could be one of those people. But, you know, when he runs and the kids are chasing him and then he falls down and they pile on top of him, that's a very Charles thing. He does that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lets people tackle him
before. Yes.
Now, where are they, you think? I mean, they're at a lake. Is that Lake Pepin?
It's a big lake.
Could be Lake Pepin.
Could be.
I don't know if he would have had to travel further for that. I don't know. I don't know if there's wild horses in Lake Pepin.
Well, you know, Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes, allegedly. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a huge lake, but I guess Lake Pepin's supposed to be really, really big.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But here we go. We have I think this is like a Michael Landon coming out in his character a little bit. I think it's a funny line.
You work hard now. Take a lot of time. Woo! I'm glad they bought the Dragon Story. I feel like I've been plowing since sunup.
I can imagine.
Oh.
You have been at it all afternoon.
Truth of the matter is, I quit because I was losing. I can't stand to lose.
Rub my feet.
Yeah.
It's like super, I don't know. If Ma was there, Charles would not be acting like this. That's all I'm saying.
And he lays down next to her. That's weird.
Yeah,
it's intimate.
It really is, and he's so just comfortable around this woman. I mean, he seems to just love kids in general. So it's innocent in that sense. But the whole, I don't know. We also, of course, get the obligatory question from this woman, which is this.
Married Mr. Ingalls?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Such a way with children. You must have some of your own.
Oh, yeah.
You can almost see Mary's face in the back, like, get away from my paw.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you do not want her to come and confront you.
No, no, no. She'll come right at you. She'll punch you real good.
I've got four girls and a boy.
Do you have them believing in dragons, too?
Well, as long as I can, I will.
Now, I'm going to play the TMI moment. This is far too much information. I mean, aren't we led to believe he just arrived last night? Right? Yeah. This isn't like days later.
No, it was just last night.
So let's say they got in at, I don't know, like 1. This is probably 1 p.m. So 12 hours later, this is what a complete stranger is willing to share with Charles Ingalls. Because he's a rock star.
He is.
I haven't seen the children that happy in a long time.
Yeah, you know what it is when a stranger comes along, plays real hard with your kids, and goes on his merry way down the road, and the kids expect you to play that hard with them every day.
The only Uncle other Chris. Stranger they know is their father. Sorry. Afraid I'm not much fun at picnics. My husband wasn't always like this, you know. It's a silly thing to say. No. What you know, you're a stranger.
You know, sometimes it's easier to talk to strangers.
Why don't you give me a back rub?
Exactly.
It's definitely leading to a very, very weird place, I think.
Yes. Don't tell him this. I don't know. People always tell him things that he really doesn't need to know. I mean, he's not a minister. He's not a counselor. He's just Charles Ingalls, and he draws people out always.
Well, he's a man of many talents. I mean, he is a middleman for buying and selling horses. He's a farmer. In the books, he's trading furs. The guy knows how to do things.
He does.
Brett was a fine husband. Devoted to his children. He spoiled them too much, but he loved them. Especially Michael. He was the oldest. Beautiful boy. Steal your heart in a minute. He went everywhere with his father. Brett would put him in front of him in the saddle, and they'd ride half the day. One morning, the horse stumbled. It's no one's fault. Our son died that night.
Now, sad story, of course. I mean, it's very tragic. It starts explaining what's going on here a bit. Charles, yes. For the first time that I recall, talks about this very sensitive topic for something that him and Caroline went through.
Right.
With a person that he met 12 hours ago. It is just, I mean, all right, it's sharing time by the lake, but you know, we just, I don't know. This isn't the right person to share this with, I think.
I just think it's a good thing that this woman does not live in Walnut Grove because she would be quite the temptation for him. They're bonding over these things.
Yeah.
My wife and I lost a son. Charles Jr. about 5 years ago.
That's a spoiler for people who might be listening to the show. It's not really. I mean, if you don't know that, come on.
If you don't know that.
If you don't know that.
How does a person ever get over it?
over anything like that. I suppose that's why faith is so important to me. Just don't think a person can handle something like that alone.
How do you get that kind of faith?
By wanting it bad enough. Wanting to believe.
Good job, Charles. Good job.
And yeah.
You're like,
luckily,
yeah.
Luckily, the kids are going to come up, so he gets rescued.
Right, it's kind of like Saved by the Bell type of moment.
Yeah.
So mom is all grumpy in this next scene, but you know, anything for Charles. You know, it's a very weird little dynamic here with the kids. The kids are really enamored with this stranger.
About the dragon and all.
I told you, your father may have to work late.
How come Dad has to work late every night?
He just has to. Finish that milk.
Is there a bee in your bonnet? Like, what is your problem?
Rare. Yeah. She's mad because she can't have the real man.
Right. I mean, look at that head of hair. Jeez.
Look at those pecs.
Look at those suspenders.
Oh, yeah.
She should, what?
She shouldn't. Oh,
sorry.
She should make plans to injure him so he'll take his shirt off.
Wouldn't be too hard. Oh, I got a little mustard on her sleeve. Take it off immediately, and I'll wash it.
Yes, that's easy.
All it would take.
You go hurry up and finish that milk. I'll take you upstairs and tuck you in and give you a little drink to drink. If it's all right with your mom.
Is it all right?
Thank God for Charles Ingalls.
Come on, hurry up and down it. Your sister's beating you.
Oh, he's so good with kids.
He is.
It's so creepy. We get to the story time. It's not that interesting, but I think that one particular element of it is somewhat interesting. They have a really nice bedroom too. And nice quilts and everything about this house is just really nice.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No, that's like Nellie Olson bedroom nice.
I think this is nicer than Nellie Olson's in some ways. I think this house is much nicer than the Olson's house.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Very nice, too. Here, that robe.
Well, you better sit in my bed and tell us our dream. He wets his. I do not. You do, too, and you know.
Well, now, wait a minute. What's so bad about wetting the bed? Lots of people do.
They do?
Well, sure they do. I did.
Are you making up a story?
Cross my heart.
So, you're probably familiar with the movie The Loneliest Runner?
Yes.
So, you know, that was, Michael Landon's putting this in because of his own issues with bedwetting as a child.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, he's always putting stuff in here for kids almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Also, I believe Melissa Sue Anderson was in that production.
Yeah, I had forgotten that. You're right.
Yeah,
but terrible movie.
Yeah, I saw it once, and I was like, what is this?
It's high quality, but it's terrible because it makes you feel terrible.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
Do you still?
Of course not. I grew out of it just the way Thomas will.
I hope you're right.
I am right. Don't worry about it. Now, I'm going to give you that dream. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. This dream takes place way, way up in the clouds.
Don't make it scary.
I'm not making it scary.
You are too. Because when we're up in the clouds, we're in heaven. And we're dead.
Time to shut up. Just listen to the story.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus. Kid is bumming me out.
Reading a lot into it.
So we do have a question. We want to know if Charles was funning them, which I just love. I love the word funning.
Yeah, Tom.
You weren't funning about wetting and all.
No, I wasn't funning.
And it will stop.
I guarantee it.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night, Tom.
Thank you.
he's really reinforcing a lot of feelings. I don't know. Yes. I feel like he had an ulterior motive for that particular scene. It's what it kind of felt like.
Maybe he did.
He's always trying to put these messages in. Now, the wife, what is her name? Mrs. Harper, I guess.
I can't remember her first name.
I'll find it. I want to say it's Helen, but I don't think it. Leslie. Leslie Harper.
Leslie
Harper. All right. She is in the back, just looking through a screen, just wondering what could have been, maybe, when Charles walks in.
Yes.
They have the same crickets. It's kind of cool.
They do.
Or maybe always they're in the his wagon. He brought them.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's quite a pair.
Yes, they are. After that workout you gave them today, though, sleep like logs.
I guarantee you I will.
I'm sorry about what happened today. I was feeling a little sorry for myself, I guess, and I just wanted someone to feel sorry along with me.
I think we all feel sorry for ourselves sometimes. I know I do. I think people have to work hard at being happy. I sound like I'm giving a lecture now, huh?
No. You're right. It's just so easy being happy for so long. I guess I never learned how to work at it.
Never too late to try. Good night, Leslie.
Good night.
It's almost like you know where I'll be type of comment.
Exactly.
It's weird. So weird.
It is.
In the next scene,
what's he doing?
I'm sorry.
What's he doing calling her by her first name?
Know your place, sir.
Mrs. Harper.
Yeah. Where are your manners, son? He's not wearing his wedding ring in this episode either, by the way.
Well, that's interesting.
I just realized that. I have him in the next scene. We see thousands of horses. Holy cow. And I see his hand and it's bare. There's no ring on there. I'll keep watching for his ring finger. But we learn that Mr. Harper is selling 1,000 horses to the army. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has some serious money if he has those type of, like, accounts or something. We know he's wealthy, but wow, that's like some serious money.
I wonder how big their ranch is.
I don't know, but he has ranch hands. And do they have ranches like this anywhere near where Charles could have just ridden his wagon to? Or ridden?
I'm not aware of, because I live in Wisconsin, which is close to next to Minnesota. We don't have ranches here. So, I would think he would need to go to maybe Wyoming or the Dakotas if, being this far north to find a ranch. But I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. So Charles comes home. I'm going to just say that he's home. And he just comes in like he owns the place, really.
Hi.
And there's like the linoleum on the floor when he walks in the dining area. I posted a picture in the Facebook group. I don't know if you saw it. Of later when he's in his room. And I don't know what that floor is all about. I mean, maybe it's the same kind of linoleum floor. You don't happen to have the video open in front of you, do you?
I do.
Oh, if you go to 26 and a half minutes. I don't know if you have the same exact times, but that looks kind of like linoleum to me. It doesn't look like tile. I mean, it looks like linoleum that's supposed to look like tile.
It looks like 70s linoleum.
Yeah, right. I think it is.
You're done early.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Fine. I think you bought the best bunch of horses I've ever seen.
Did Brett come home?
Hey, he'll be along soon. He's helping the drovers bring in the horses.
Good. That'll give me time to get everything ready.
That smells good. I hope you made a bunch.
I did. Oh, I forgot the pie.
Yeah, I'll get it for you. don't you put your pretty hands in that hot oven.
And she's like, oh my goodness.
I'm my flustered. Pretty hands.
You get the same look where when Nellie was told by Percival that she's pretty. You know, we get that same. Pack. Yeah, we get that whole like, he called me pretty. Or beautiful, I forget.
There you go.
I haven't had a compliment like that in many years, Mr. Ingalls.
Like what?
What you just said. I hope you haven't forgotten already about my hands.
I always speak the truth. And my hands are dirty along with the rest of me, so I think I'll wash up.
You know where I'll be. Holy cow.
And then she like looks at her own hands because he admired them, and it just.
Then she looks in the mirror, though. And yeah. I thought that the hair was going to come down and we were going to do a Ma thing, like when she answers the door to Chris.
Oh, Lord, that iconic scene.
But oh, I forgot her name again. I'm sorry. Leslie. Leslie goes and basically does a makeover in a few minutes. And I don't know. This whole thing is getting kind of weird. I think that Charles is just being far too attentive towards this woman. So he's in the kitchen. They even have a really nice curtain up. They have a lot of really nice things.
I'll start dinner with Annie.
I could serve you up a little to tide you over.
No, that's all right.
When he sees her, it's almost like, I'm in love. So strange. And there's music even.
Starts.
Yes.
Well, look at you.
It's all your fault, you know.
Not mine.
Well, you told me to work at being happy. A woman can't feel happy unless she feels like a woman.
Well, then you must feel very, very happy.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's, oh my God, it's too much.
It is so too much. I want to hear in the background Carolyn go, Charles! Come in here, Charles. Can I talk to you?
She's like the new Widow Thurman.
she's kind of worse because it seems like there's a type of real connection here. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like where it's going, even though I know how it ends. I don't like where this is going. There's no ferns, so I don't know what's going on.
Rod, train them and put them all in a corral.
Brett's home.
Now, this is the heartbreaking scene where Brett comes home. And
he's unimpressed.
So we're kind of reminded, even though there's this weird flirtation going on, she really is doing it all for her husband. And she just wants a little bit of attention, kind of the way Chris gave her Ma some attention, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little attention. She put on, you know, the nice outfit and then Pa didn't notice. Oh, wait, was that the same episode? No, that was a different episode. What was the one where she bought the new material?
That was the For My Lady.
Yeah, For My Lady. That was the Widow Thurman one.
Yes.
Yeah. And there were a lot of ferns in that episode. So that means it was good. No, but I remember that. And then at the very end, he makes a comment saying, by the way, you know, your blouse is really nice. It's like, this man. Oh, Charles.
He's so much.
Too much. So she goes running towards.
Have a good day.
Yes, it went fine. Where's Ingalls around? There you are.
Well, they're all in the corral now, safe and sound.
Fine.
Brett, dinner's ready anytime you want.
No, I'm not very hungry.
Well, I made your favorite. I
said I'm not very hungry.
Do they have carpet? Am I seeing this right? Who the heck had carpet? I need to.
It's probably just a rug. Oh, it looks wall to wall.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, I see a rug, but I do. It also looks wall to wall.
It does look wall to wall. This house is. Not period, I'll tell you.
I'm concerned here, Suzanne. I'm seeing things that are breaking breaking my reality. I'm waiting for it to see a phone jack or something in the wall. But I can't wait to point out the, I'm sorry, I just noticed on above the fireplace, it looks like it's one of the statues that he broke. But it should already be broken. I don't know. A lot of weird continuity things going on here. But anyway, so here, going back to the story, I'll try to ignore all that.
We can settle up before you leave in the morning.
Fine.
Brett.
Yes, Leslie, what is it?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I have a lot of paperwork to do.
So yeah, he's just unaware, and she's just like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to slit your throat.
Never mind.
Never mind. Yeah, Brett is a bit of a jerk.
And he seems sober.
He does, and it looks like he kind of needs a drink, because he's kind of... Maybe that's his thing. He'll work throughout the day and be sober, but then at night, just, you know, parties too hard. Very sad. We get a little bit more of a story. Charles takes the boy riding horses. I just think this is a little bit weird. Again, overreach. You don't go alone with a little boy riding a horse. Same horse. You just don't.
Why do you suppose Mama cries all the time?
It's hard to say sometimes.
I think it's because of my brother. He got killed.
I know.
That's why my pa won't let me have a horse. He never lets me ride one.
Well, maybe it will when you're bigger.
Maybe.
My pa didn't give me a horse till I got big.
You got a pa?
Did. He died a few years back.
Did your pa drink?
Sure.
So I thought he said, did your pa drink? You know, and I thought that's where this conversation was going, but... And then when Charles said, yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
It was kind of like weird, but no, he said, did your pa dream?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes everybody does.
I'm sorry, go on.
I'm sorry, keep doing that.
No, it's fine.
I find it odd that a child, I mean, it's one thing to have Leslie confide in him, but to have a child do it. I mean, because children are taught not to speak that intimately. And so, I mean, that seemed to be a hallmark of the era.
Yeah, it is. It's all very strange. I mean, this is a real sensitive kid, and he's really letting his guard down in front of a man who he's known for 2 days. Very strange.
Yes.
I don't mean regular dreams. I mean those happy ones, like you gave us.
Oh, yeah, you dream those kind, too. Why?
I was just wondering.
So basically, Charles is just getting far too involved. And I don't know. Maybe he should really start noticing that. I don't know. Like, you have to be a little bit more self-aware. They all get back to the homestead. And the father is just really mad. Brett Harper comes out, and he's very upset with the son.
Thomas, how many times have I told you not to get on a horse? How many times?
It's not the boy's fault, Mr. Harper.
You stay out of this, Ingalls. Now answer me, how many times?
I didn't mean anything wrong, Mr. Ingalls. I didn't.
I know you didn't, son.
What? This is getting crazy.
There's so much to unpack there.
In that one, like, little 20-second thing, yeah, he gets a slap and he goes running to Charles Ingalls.
Right.
Calls him son.
And Brett says, like, the most sensible line, you stay out of this, Ingalls. There's a thought.
Yeah, like, this whole thing, and very, very odd. And it goes on. It gets worse.
You go on now. You go on in the house. He had no reason to do that. I asked the boy to go riding with me. If it was wrong, it was my fault.
You have no right to tell me how to discipline my son.
I do if you don't treat him like a son. Anybody can have a child. It doesn't make him a father.
I'm his pa now. Too much. It's like, I don't understand this at all. Like, I just... He needs to talk to Caroline. He needs to get home and Caroline will ground him.
He does. Because, yeah, this is all, you know. And in some ways, Brett's right. You don't have much to say about how he raises his son.
Yeah, so they're inside and they're kind of complaining about everything.
Stop it!
He picks up out, you know, he goes to pour himself a glass of whiskey, I think is what we learned is his drink of choice. And Mom just goes crazy.
In the name of heaven, stop it!
Thomas, go to your room. What do you mean, acting like that in front of the child?
What do I mean? I never seem to bother you to stagger around drunk in front of your children half a day. Never speaking to them, never being a father to them. Michael wasn't your only child. Did you forget that?
You think there's like something Michael Landon-y here? With the use of the name Michael, abusive father, the bedwetting. Like, is there something here?
Maybe it was a really cathartic thing for him because there's a lot here that's similar.
Yeah. It's like his own little melodrama movie where he's the savior.
Yeah. It was interesting earlier when Leslie just flat out admitted that Michael was his favorite.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very odd.
I told you never to mention my son's name.
Son. I was his mother. I carried that baby inside of me. When he died, part of me died too.
Then why can't you understand the way
I... Because I can't understand! Because your children need a father! Because your wife needs a... And I just can't stay here anymore.
Leslie. Don't leave me.
It won't work this time.
I mean, you won't even give me another chance.
Chance. And another. It's been too long. I'm tired.
So this is a little bit of a long scene, but I still think it's worth it. Because they do touch upon a lot of the things that we're talking about Charles, like, putting his P's and Q's where they don't belong. And
yes.
I think, yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic. We kind of need this all to get broken up a little bit. I would love for, like, Isaiah to walk in or something. Start singing like his song. That'd be nice. Just break.
Old Dan Tucker.
Yeah, old Dan Tucker.
Stranger came to this house. And in a few days, gave your children more love and understanding than you've given them in 4 years. First time in their lives they know what it's like to have a father.
This is as low as you can go, right? I mean, holy cow. You don't say, I mean, even if it's true, it's just, this guy's going to kill her or something. Somebody will die. This is just crazy.
So it's Ingles. He's the reason why you're leaving.
I'm leaving because I have to.
He goes and meets with somebody. He's like, yeah, you're going to have to round up Ingles and we're going to string him up.
Yeah.
Jeez. You don't cross a guy like this.
And she doesn't even know if he'll take her to the station yet. So she's sort of speaking ahead of herself.
But don't worry, Charles is just in the rocking chair, smoking his pipe, reading the paper in his own little room. Now, if you could check that out, 35 minutes and 40 seconds, the floor is just so bizarre. Like, I think it's a rug that is like a modern rug. It's just strange looking.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
But look, it's wall to wall. I don't think wall to wall was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
But it's made to look like tile. It's weird.
Yeah. It's almost like carpet tiles.
Yeah, little tiny ones.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a woman just visiting him in his room. Yeah, it's fine. It's totally fine.
And she didn't knock.
No, why would you?
I was hoping you weren't asleep.
Oh, no, I wasn't tired.
I would have kissed your forehead. Tucked you in. I'm here to tell you a story.
I'm sorry about the trouble. I just didn't know.
Don't apologize for Brett. It won't work, Charles. You asked me to try, and I did, and it just won't work.
You're sure?
Yes. When you leave in the morning, I'd like you to take me and the children to town. We'll stay there until the divorce is worked out.
Do the children know?
Not yet. I'll tell them in the morning. And it won't be easy for them at first, I know. The longer I wait, the more difficult it'll be.
You think Charles is like, oh my God, I just came to my horse?
No, he drew this bath himself. So
he sought out this family.
Yeah. He decided to have this kind of relationship where he has to listen to this crap.
Yeah, you're right.
They need someone to love them. So do I.
We have each other. There's that.
There's that.
Oh, my God.
My husband accused me of leaving him because of you. I told him it wasn't true.
What?
I do envy your wife. Night.
Well, I did anyway. I just sent the James gang to go take care of her and your family. Oh my God. This is a dangerous woman. She's crazy.
She is. You know, there have been several times in the series where women have said, I envy your wife.
Was there? That's something that's happened before?
Yeah, the class of 56 it happened. Hmm. And there's one other episode, but I can't remember which one it was.
That must be a line that is significant in Landon's life. Must be. It's a weird thing to say.
It is. Intimate. I keep saying intimate, but it's so intimate this episode.
Yeah, well, this relationship between these two adults is far too intimate. And the relationship between him and the kids is just, well, with the boy, really. Not so much with Alicia. But don't worry, she's coming back with Victor French. Everything will be fine.
It'll be all right.
But the kids want to have a little sidebar with Charles.
Mr. Ingalls, we want to talk to you.
Now, this could have gone the way that Mary said. It's like, why don't you just get out of my life? Can you imagine Alicia doing that, like, saying, like, you know, you go, you leave now.
Get out.
Get out. You, I would love it.
Admit it. You love my mother.
Exactly. I would, you know what? It would be great to kind of dub that in right here.
Right. You don't have to tell me about my mother.
Little Alicia with her, I don't know what you call that. It's like a little cape thing that she's wearing on her shoulders. Like a, it's like a shawl, but
yeah.
It's like something Madeline would wear in those books.
It's very Madeline.
Yeah.
And look, see, there's...
What?
Every single clip.
No, you're not. I can hear you. It's fine.
there's carpet in the hallway too.
Oh, really?
Wait, the wall.
Let me just.
At 39:51.
Oh, well, all right. I'm going to get to that because I'm going to play this clip first.
Sure.
Okay.
Ma said you're taking us to town.
Is that a euphemism for something? What is going on here? We're going to go to the ATM and you're going to rob us?
Ma asked if I'd give you a ride in and I said I would.
Our pa's not going, is he?
No, Sam, he's not.
It's not his place to talk about this at all, in my opinion. So you should talk to your mother about this.
That's her news. But she really should have told them by now.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are leaving. So, I'm sorry, what was the time on that? 39:51. Oh, yeah, you're right. And a phone outlet. No, not a phone outlet.
I wish.
There is a weird kind of abrasion on the molding around the door. But I don't know. I think that's just something. I don't know. Something bashed into it. This hallway, also, when he goes down the stairs, is that the part you meant?
He's got his carpet bag on the bed and she's talking to him.
Oh, no. Well, when he goes down the stairs, when he's about to go into the office, the stairs have a rug. You know, that's basically a runner, you know. But
oh, yeah, I see.
But in the hallway here, there's also wall-to-wall. And you can really see it's wall-to-wall.
It is.
Why did they use this house? I bet this was somebody's house.
This isn't their standard big house that they use for everything.
So weird. Even that glass above the door. I feel like that's something that wasn't really introduced until the 20s or 30s. I don't know if I'm totally right about that. And normally that would have the kind of door my house had where it goes back and forth. I don't even know what you call that. We removed it. You know the kind of door where it's like in a kitchen in a restaurant. It can go one way or the other.
Yes.
It looks like maybe they removed it for this. Because why else have that top piece?
I can't think of any reason.
So strange. He's going into the office. I'm doing play-by-play.
You're leaving now. Here's your money.
A bill of sale. You know Ingalls? I've been sitting here for the past few hours trying to figure out a way of stopping my wife from leaving. Everything from pleading with Leslie to fighting you.
A man like this, right, would have a revolver on the desk, I think.
Yeah.
For when Charles comes in, just to intimidate him, at least.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting, since you mentioned the desk, it's interesting the device on top of it, the wooden one. I don't know if that's a phone or what. But...
Oh, wait, that's what that's his little bar.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. The other side of it. Really okay. Nice. It is really
it
nice.
It is. There's
a black thing in front of him. I'm not 100% sure what that is.
I think that is a big conference room speaker.
Yeah, it's almost like where the computer monitor gets plugged in.
Or a Roomba. A tiny Roomba.
Yeah, it does. It looks just like a Roomba. Holy cow. We found a Roomba.
Neither one of them seems to make much sense. You just can't make another person love you.
I'd love to have an office like this with the fireplace, everything. So jealous of this house. I really like it.
It is beautiful.
But it's weird. Now, I've only seen more modern houses have the white walls with the kind of strips, the white strips. Yes. I mean, I don't know why that exists. I don't know what the point of all that is. You know, why is it white on white? Do you know? I mean,
I don't. I don't know much about
me either.
This type of thing, but yeah, I've not seen it. I don't remember ever seeing it before.
Yeah.
You never really tried, did you?
No. Since Michael died. I suppose Leslie told you.
I picture in the background as he's talking, like a guy, a kid in like a big wheel going by, or like a slip and slide.
Yes. Oh, that would be great.
We can edit that, probably. Make a fake one.
I killed my own son.
She said there was an accident.
He goes on. I mean, this is a lot of him just kind of realizing what he's done, and he's ignored his wife, and he's blamed himself, and there's a lot of healing, excuse me, that needs to begin, I guess. I do like this particular part a lot. Charles goes to her and just lays down the law. He's like, I'm not getting involved.
Finally.
I'm not going to take you.
What?
I said, I'm not going
to
take you.
I'm not going to take you into town. If you want to go, you'll have to have somebody else drive you.
Is it because of something Brett said to you? Because he's in there drunk and you feel sorry for him?
He's not drunk and I don't feel sorry for him.
Then what is it?
Because he loves you and you love him.
And I know this because I've known you for 2.5 days. Holy cow.
You're wrong.
Am I? You just look at me and tell me you don't love him. It's as simple as that.
I don't love him. Dun, 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 dun. Just, it's over. Right.
What that, is with him touching her face?
Yeah, that, oh my God, I'm glad you just, I didn't, that totally, that was not on my radar at all. And I just paused. I'm like, is his dirty hand on her face? Oh my God.
He can put his dirty hand on my face, but he shouldn't put it on hers.
Look at me and tell me you don't love him.
If only he were like you. I need...
You need someone.
And he's caressing her face and neck. Unbelievable. Yeah. Caroline would lose it. Charles Ingalls? Her. What?
Don't touch her.
Right.
You're just Hands offering off. Her something you can't deliver.
Hands off, buddy. Put them in your pockets.
Yeah.
Sit Caroline. Caroline would just... Oh, my God.
You needed someone for a long time. But Leslie, needing and loving just aren't the same thing. Some of the things you see in me are the things you used to see in your husband.
You're just gonna have to deal with being super, super rich. And I know that doesn't heal
it
everything.
Helps.
It helps. But I mean, it's... I don't know. I'm not. I think it's a weird situation, especially for the 1800s. I mean, this guy clearly has a drinking problem, but it's really stemmed in a lot of his own guilt. But there's no like Alcoholics Anonymous back then. There's no. You couldn't just really kind of go and get therapy or speak to somebody. A man talking about this kind of thing. Jeez.
It's amazing, you know, he's able to successfully run that ranch, even though he's an alcoholic.
He's like a functional alcoholic, you know?
Yeah.
We hear about that all the time. People, you know, functional drug addicts. And
they get
crazy.
Up and go to work, and then...
Then they end up on an episode of Cops. And you're like, whoa. That's how they afforded that Mercedes. Bad boys. I've been watching reruns of Cops.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. It really just, oh my God. I watched a few episodes with my son. This is not a rabbit hole, really. But he's like, it's always the same three things. It's never their car. they're always saying, I didn't do anything. And there's at least one person crying in at least, you know, in one episode. Oh, and he also said, like, they always have to get home to their kids.
They do.
It's just funny.
Remember, I told you once that a person has to work at being happy. Remember? I think your husband's ready for that work. But you gotta give him a chance.
It's like the beginning of Tony Robbins' personal power.
It is. Like, I set it up for you, so I'm gonna be going on my way now.
Right. It's like, I've given you all the tools to change your mind and to change your life. How does it feel? Say it. I want you to really say it. Say it like you mean it. That's Charles Ingalls. Tony Robbins from 18. Did we mention the date of this episode? It was March 5th, 1979. So yeah, 1879. But he really is no way should he be touching her face. It's just too much.
Right.
Like, that would be the time when the husband walks in and it's like, get your hands off my wife. How would
he
feel?
And he would be right.
How would he feel if, like, somebody, you know, actually, we did have a moment where a guy touched Ma once, remember?
Oh, the bully boys. He put his hands on you.
They made a whole episode about it.
Yeah.
Maybe from a different point of view, Charles is the enemy in this episode.
Maybe so. The interloper.
If only I could be sure.
You sure you love him, aren't you?
Yes.
And you know your children do.
So he takes her hand and walks her in, like, because it's kind of like, I started this mess. I'm going to help fix it. I can't leave. I'm going to stay here for as long as it takes.
And he's about to, he's doing his tearing up face.
Yes.
With the chin quiver. Oh, that chin quiver. Yeah. Ah, get the vapors.
It gets me every time.
Yeah.
So he walks her in, and this is what happens. Her outfit's pretty cool, too. She has a similar type of coat on that Alicia has on, except Alicia just has the top part on. Pretty decent hat. I think even Harriet would like the way she's dressed.
That's saying something.
You're not leaving?
No.
Did Charles walk her in? I don't know if he did.
He walked her up to the door and let her in.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, where is he?
It's weird how Brett stuck out his tongue and wagged it around there.
You mean right here when he just said that?
Yeah.
I missed that. I have to see that. I'm sorry.
You're not leaving?
No.
What was that?
I don't know.
It's like after having like a soft serve cone and it has sprinkles, you're like, oh, I have a little sprinkle right there.
Yeah. Sprinkle cleanup.
I bet you he had pancakes at the craft services table that morning and he just tasted maple syrup on his face. That's what I think. Yeah.
I won't make any promises.
This is the worst deal I've ever heard. I like this actor, by the way. I think I would have liked to see him do more on the show. He's got the J. Jonah Jameson haircut. He should be smoking a cigar like J. Jonah Jameson. But yeah, this is the worst deal of all time.
And I won't plead. But I will try. Deal?
Deal.
Oh, brother. So Charles goes and he's like, get the hell out of my wagon, kids.
Yeah. And you know how Charles is when he sees a boy, he's like, oh, every boy is his kid.
Let me squeeze you.
You know, my son died.
Oh, my God. What about Albert?
Thank you. All right, everybody out.
Get the hell
Where's
out.
Mom?
She's inside with your pa. She's not going.
She's
all right. Like, of course, they're all. They have tears in their eyes and everything, but they don't know anything. Nothing's changed. They have only made it to the sidewalk. It's just so weird. He could have said it a little bit differently. Because they seem overjoyed. They're, well, maybe they are overjoyed that they're not leaving. All right. I take it back.
Not?
That's right, she is. Why don't you get on in that house and give her a hug?
Mom! Pop!
Oh, Mr. Ingles, I knew you could do it. You gave our pa a dream.
Oh, I didn't give him a dream, boy. I just kind of woke him up a little, that's all.
Now, I'm going to play the creepy, creepy part. You know, after
that
knowing,
was plenty creepy.
Oh, it gets creepier. I didn't know this, but across the street, as soon as you walk out of their house, the water's right there.
Wow.
And you can hear horses in the background. Why? That makes sense, actually, because of Charles's horses. But yeah, I think this is 10 times creepier. I don't know if it's exactly this moment, but if it's not, it's coming.
I'll never forget you, Mr. Ingles. Never.
Oh, will I, you? Now go on, get in that house.
This. You ready?
I love you, Charles!
Doesn't say it back. So,
no, he does not say it back because it's creepy at that time.
It's like, whatever, kid. Whatever your name is, son. Yeah, and then we get a Laura voiceover. Makes no sense. No, what were you going to say?
You know, with him dragging all these horses home, you would think that they would deliver them.
I was wondering, I'm like, how is he going to get all these horses home? And we get an answer to it. I count 9 horses. I don't know. Did you? It's hard to count them.
Yeah, I think there were going to be 10, but it's odd. I mean, I think those horses could be injured being tied so closely together.
Mm, yeah.
So why wouldn't they deliver them? It's a big ranch.
$25 a horse. Maybe he's like, you take him for, you know, 24 and I'll bring him home myself. And then he skims off the top. He keeps the, you know, he keeps the extra $25 for himself or $10.
Yeah. Really. It's like going home from the salon with your hair wet to save money.
That's funny. No, I'll just blow dry it at home. I have a blow dryer at home. It's fine.
What do you think will happen when Charles gets home? Is he going to tell Carolyn this story, or is he not going to say a word and let it be his little memory?
No, he'll say a version that does not involve him spending so much personal time with this woman
and not touching her face.
Yeah. or the weird carpet. He's probably just going to say, you know, they had things that we've never even seen before. Like wall-to-wall carpet. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, here's the Laura voiceover, which, by the way, this episode has no Caroline, no Laura, nothing.
Right.
This is 100% Michael Landon.
Pa got a letter from the Harpers 2 years later. They wanted Pa to know they'd had another child. A son. They named him Charles Michael Harper.
Wait, how much time was it? 2 years?
Yes.
All right.
And
so
way to rub it in Charles's face that you had a son.
You're absolutely right about that. But then I was thinking, it's like 9 months later, you got a letter.
Conceived before he left the property.
And he's going. That's it. That's the end of the episode. Dun, 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 dun. Crazy.
I like it too. But usually there's a framework of Walnut Grove around these stories, and there's nothing here. It's just all this.
Even in the beginning, there was nothing.
Well, because those were one-off characters too, so
yeah. There's no Walnut Grove here. Interesting. Yeah, because the first place that we see after leaving that shoe, the horse guy, whatever he's doing out there, the blacksmith in or whatever he's doing, we see the grumpy guy reading the book.
Right.
Huh, that's interesting. No Walnut Grove and no character outside of Charles.
No.
That's got to be a first.
I think it is. I don't remember. I can't think of any other episode.
I just have to see. This is also, I mean, season 5 at the episode 22. Was this, where was this in the entire? I just totally clicked the wrong thing. I just want to see what would follow and what was after. I mean, what would follow and what preceded it. We have the Enchanted Cottage beforehand and after Mortal Mission, which is the Anthrax episode.
Yes.
Which I want to do.
Actually, I love that episode.
Do you want to do that one? We can.
Oh, sure.
We'll rubber stamp it now for the future.
Okay.
Right. Isn't that easy?
I will.
I also want to do the Odyssey. I remember that episode being a little bit out there.
It was a little out there.
It's another one of these kind of one-off episodes, one of these strange things. But Mortal Mission's a great episode. I would love to do that with you.
Okay. I would love that too.
Cool. But, well, Suzanne, thank you so much for recording this episode with me. I thought it was a lot of fun. No ferns. It's fine. We lose points.
No ferns.
But definitely the nicest house. I think you agree. It was definitely a nice house.
And we got some good nitpicking in, which is always fun.
But Pod definitely overstepped his boundaries. I think you...
He did.
Do you agree with that? Yeah.
He did, but he looked fine doing it.
It was... It could have been also done in a way where it wasn't so blunt. Like, it wasn't so in... So heavy-handed. You know, yes. He could have comforted her in a totally different way.
But, yes, but it probably wouldn't have been as entertaining.
No. I mean... I'm glad, and I'm sure they're glad, that we're reviewing this episode right now. William F. Claxton, who's the director, and this is again written by Blanche Nahles. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.